Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Back on the program. Good batch of headlines by intern Parker, but he forgot to start the podcast. So if you're joining, you missed a great batch of headlines. I guess it's a learning experience. I guess that was a part of the training that I was supposed to be giving you here on Talk Sports, Parker, was to remind you how to start the podcast. So don't mess up for the drive when I send you there, because I don't want it to reflect me poorly, okay? Like, you are my intern, Parker. I want you to be good there.
I mean, you could do it and just be like a insider for Talk Sports.
I mean, I don't want you to tear down the drive from the inside. Like, they do a good enough job of that themselves. Just like, you go there and you represent me well in all walks of life, Parker. You are now a extension of me, even after the drive, whatever job you get, whatever type of husband you are. Like,
you are an extension from John from here on out.
If you ever have kids and become a father, I need you to raise them properly. I don't want to say the godfather or whatever, but I mean, I'm kind of attached to you now. So please stop disappointing me. Make me proud. We open with boxing because I do think that was the most jaw-dropping moment. Deontay Wilder almost breaking someone's neck with a punch, but game 3 last night in Toronto was a really, really good basketball game. If the Bucks would have won that game, the series obviously over. You're not beating that team 4 times in a row. NBA teams don't come back from 3-0. Like, that doesn't happen. It would have been over. There were a couple of moments when it looked like it would be over, but the Raptors able to win, make it 2-1, give us at least one compelling series, because Golden State absolutely broke Portland's heart in Game 3 on Saturday night. Draymond Green and Steph Curry with awesome performances. That one's over, right? 3-0, Golden State's over. They're going to the finals. No surprise. You knew Portland didn't match up with them. I thought we were headed for 3-0 whenever the Bucks tied the game heading into overtime. I thought they were going to win it. But Toronto able to make enough plays. Kawhi Leonard able to make enough plays down the stretch. He scored 36 points. He came up big again. Came up with a couple big steals. Got away with a double dribble on a big break. On a dunk, I believe, that put them up 3 with a couple minutes left. It should have been a double dribble. They got away with it. And he was able to get another steal a possession or two later and get another fast break dunk. Mark Gasol finally showed up and showed that he could still contribute scoring. He hit 4 threes. So funny watching Mark Gasol just completely ignore the post.
Well, the few times he went in there, he kind of messed it up. I mean,
oh yeah, no, he's not doing the wrong thing. I mean, I do think you could still probably get him to give you a couple buckets, but like you said, Ben, he is kind of just clogging up the lane. He shot 10 shots last night, and 8 of them were from 3. I had a guy argue with me about Grant Williams over the weekend, because we've had a progression of Grant Williams will never. I talked about this on Friday. We've had a progression between Grant Williams. There's no way he's going to the NBA. He loves school too much. He's not good enough. There's no way he'll be a first-round pick, because now he's leaving, obviously, right? Like, there's a portion of people who are mad thinking he's making a mistake. And I was arguing with the guy who was talking about how Grant Williams is too small to play in the post. And I was just kind of like, do you watch the NBA now? He's like, yeah, I watch enough. I was like, well, who are the good post players in the NBA? Like, if you're asking me if you're asking me if I think Grant Williams can survive in the NBA as a post player at 6'6 without shoes, 6'8 with shoes, no, he can't. As the rest of the NBA also realizes that 95% of their players can't survive as post players. Mark Gasol is what, 7'1"?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I can't survive as a post player anymore. I shot the ball 10 times. 8 of them were from 3. It was just funny because the people who are vocally always talking about how Grant Williams and Admiral aren't going to be good enough in the NBA are the guys who don't watch the NBA.
It was.
I asked him to name his post players, and like there were two of them were like Horford and Gasol, who both just predominantly play on the outside now. Like Horford is a slasher. He'll get to the rim, but I mean no one in the NBA is playing with their back to the basket. If you need more proof of that, Mark Gasol shot 10 times last night. 8 of them were from 3.
Watching Mark Gasol charge into the lane and then throw the ball all the way back to basically half court without looking to the Bucks. I think it was Bledsoe was the one that caught the ball.
Yeah, it was bad.
Was one of the most insane things I think I've ever watched.
Yeah, Mark Gasol, I mean, last night he was able to really help with the interior defense. So I'll give him credit. He played a good game. Now, granted, like you said, he had a couple of really dumb turnovers, really bad plays, but they don't win that game last night without him. He was really bad in game 1 and 2, and in game 3, he came out, scored 16 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks. Like, he was awesome, and he was a big part of why Giannis Antetokounmpo struggled so much. Giannis only scored 12 points. He was 5 of 16 from the field. He was not good. He fouled out. He had 8 turnovers. Now, he grabbed 23 rebounds, so Giannis was still in there grabbing rebounds, but he wasn't scoring, and he was turning the ball over. He had a bad game, which on one hand, if I'm a Raptors fan, I'm like, okay, so he figured out we could kind of slow down Giannis. On the other hand, I'm like, wow, we forced Giannis into 8 turnovers and 12 points, and we won in double overtime.
Yeah. It kind of seemed like they were basically just running like a box and one on him. Just like, as long as he's out there, we're fine, and as soon as he comes into the lane, we want 3 guys crashing on him.
They were doing their best to sag off of him and like, hey, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to shoot 3s. Like, we're going to try to, you know, something different with our defense, and it was effective. Now, we'll see if Budenholzer adjusts in game 4. I do think the Bucks coach, Mike Budenholzer, deserves as much credit as Giannis for going to another level, because I think Budenholzer is a top 4 coach, and I don't think he's 4. I think he's awesome, and I do think he is a big reason they went from a fringe playoff team last year to 60 wins, beating everyone by double digits. I think he is really smart, and I think they have put together a really good roster with him. They played so well, Toronto did, and still only won that game by 6 points.
In regulation, they held like the Bucks starters like 52 points.
Really? Was that the number?
Yeah, like shout out Will Warren. He was kind of giving the breakdown.
Well, I know that I know that the Bucks got a huge bench performance. Like George Hill, scored 24 points. Malcolm Brogdon scored 20. Connaughton and Ilyasova added 10 combined. So I mean, if you just look, there's 54 of those points.
Yeah,
I know George Hill scored maybe 2 in overtime that I noticed. The other guys weren't playing, so that would make sense. That seems to check out. But Kawhi was able to muster up enough to at least not get swept. Like, they've at least made progress. The old Raptors would have gotten swept out of the playoffs. They at least won a game, so progress, and maybe they feel okay about themselves. Kyle Lowry, you know, if we're talking about what the Bucks did poorly and still had a chance, Kyle Lowry did foul out in 32 minutes, so he wasn't in there as long as he should have been in a game that went, what, 58 minutes? He only played 32 of them.
And Kawhi played 52 of them?
Yeah. Yeah, Kawhi didn't really take any breaks.
And he was holding his leg after every shot.
Well, he had that one dunk where he kind of tweaked his knee. I hope that it's nothing serious. He said he's going to be fine. Like, he finished the game and made some big shots after that. But, yeah, on one of his fast break dunks, he kind of looked like he maybe was getting ready to hyperextend his knee. But he's fine. So Kyle Lowry ran out, and they had to put Fred Van Vliet in there, who forever I thought was Fred Van Fleet. I thought it was an F.
Mm-hmm.
Am I alone in that? Did anyone else? Were there other people walking around thinking his name was Fred Van Fleet? Because I thought his entire 8-year career at Wichita State, I thought he was Fred Van Fleet.
I thought it was Van Fleet, but I get most of my NBA talk from you.
Maybe it's my fault. Like, I had this revelation last year, but so when he goes out, when Kyle Lowry goes out, you have to see more Fred Van Fleet, and he was not shy. He shot the ball 11 times and made one of them.
But it was a clutch one.
It was a clutch one, but then he missed a couple of other bad ones. But I was just like, hey, shout out to him. He's like 0 for 7. He's going to shoot that 8th one with a lot of confidence. the Raptors can't feel good about their overall chances. Like, it took everything they had to win game three. I still think Milwaukee wins this series. I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee wins this series in five. Like, if they win game four and then just close them out at home.
After they got it to overtime, I was really expecting the Bucks to close it out. And I was like, if this goes into overtime, Bucks win it, I'm assuming they're just going to go with the Gentlemen's and just try to get it back home. Like,
yeah.
We'll just take this last one off.
Get that extra box office revenue.
Yeah.
The owner always appreciates that extra box revenue from an extra game. I thought Giannis fouled out on a bad call. I thought it was a charge.
I did too.
I saw the video. Kawhi got away with a double dribble. So there was a little bit of home cooking for Toronto that helped them as well. But we get a big game four. That'll be fun with the Raptors having a chance to even that series. Because, like I said, I think tonight, I think it's a wrap for the Blazers. Although maybe the Warriors do, like you said, and just do the little gentleman sweep. You let Portland feel okay about winning game four, and then you just take care of business in game five. Maybe take it easy tonight.
Let's get some rest.
Yeah, just take it easy. Everything's fine.
Get back home. Beat some ass, and then go to the
finals don't start until the 28th, right? So, I mean...
Oh, wow. They get a whole week off.
Yeah, I mean, they schedule that out in advance. So, I mean, yeah, if the Warriors win tonight, they get 7 days of rest, which I don't know at this point if they want the rest, although they're playing so well, maybe they just want to keep rolling.
The way you've always said, like, teams don't really do this, you know, where they go on these long stretches, three-peat, four-peat, however long. Like,
yeah, I mean, they're about to be the first team since, like, the 60s Celtics. The Celtics between the late 50s, early 60s that made five straight NBA finals. This doesn't happen. This is rarefied air. Like, now, granted, in most dynasties, Ben, you don't have a top three player interjected into your lineup in year three. Like, mm-hmm. Usually... your core gets older and kind of falls apart and doesn't get a big shot in the arm of, like I said, an alien like Kevin Durant, which granted, maybe they don't really need him, but he's been a nice luxury for them. But like they don't beat Houston last year without Durant.
Yeah.
So they don't make five straight finals without him. Now they're going to get there this year without him, but yeah, usually these dynasties, they get good role players. You can add like a Dennis Rodman or someone like that. You don't really get a Kevin Durant type of guy. So the Warriors did have a little help, but yeah, like this is rarefied air.
So I'd say like just from a rest standpoint, they'd be like, yeah, I'll take the week off just because we've been playing 40 extra games every single year for 5 years.
I kind of feel like they might be like, hey, let's just go ahead and let's just start this now before Durant gets healthy.
Let's just get this out of the way.
Let's go ahead and get to play our games before Durant gets healthy. Things seem so much better for us with Durant out.
You think that's another big FU to him? Or he's just like sitting on the couch like, all right, I'm out.
I mean, it's going to be awkward if he comes back for the finals and they start struggling and we will realize, or we should realize, that the Bucks are just really, really good, and that's why they're going to struggle. But the Bucks are one of the two best defensive teams in the league. So, like, they're going to look bad on offense. The Warriors are going to look like they're struggling. And some of that with their fan base and some of that with the media is going to be like, is Kevin Durant ruining the Warriors? So that's going to be fun, after game one and game two. So we got that to look forward to. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Magic Johnson made the rounds today. He was on First Take, I guess the first real public appearance since his breakup with the Lakers. And he kind of confirmed what we saw being reported and connected the dots with remember there was the email scandal?
Oh, yeah, he was CC'd on all these emails where everybody was talking crap behind his back.
Right, where he was basically, Rob Pelinka, the GM of the Lakers, was emailing back and forth with Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, and Magic Johnson just happened to be CC'd on all of them. Magic Johnson went on TV today and, like I said, spoke for the first time, and he said, yeah, people around the Laker office was telling me Rob Pelinka was saying things, and I didn't like those things being said behind my back. So he pretty much just confirmed, yeah, that's what happened.
Is there still, like, a thought that LeBron had a lot to do with this, too, that, like, Magic did not like working with him, or...
I think he just wants more power.
He wants just actual full control of a team.
And look, Magic Johnson, I mean, maybe Magic Johnson's not smart. Like, there is the very good potential that Rob Pelinka looked at Magic Johnson and said, man, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Magic Johnson wanted to sign Lance Stephenson and Michael Beasley and JaVale McGee and thought that was how you beat the Warriors. Like, that's what Magic Johnson went in the summer league and said. So maybe Rob Pelinka's looking around saying, wow, man, this guy doesn't really seem to be in touch with the modern-day NBA. Now, on the same hand, Rob Pelinka, during his press conference, compared signing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to there was some biblical reference. I don't know if it was like finding water after wandering through the desert.
Oh, the striking of the stones to get water?
I don't know if that was it. I think that was it, that Rob Pelinka compared Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to Moses
striking a stone and drawing water in the desert.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Shout out to Pastor Brother Drew for having me have this biblical knowledge on me.
Let me pull up exactly what that reference was, because it's important that we accurately quote Rob Pelinka. Let's see. I guess I'll start as I often do with a story. I would venture to guess there's people in the room that are familiar with the stories in the book of Genesis, where there was a time when the Israelites were wandering in the desert and all of a sudden bread came down from heaven. That's kind of what today feels like for us to have KCP join.
Like manna from heaven. That's incredible.
So, I mean, like, I'm trying to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Like, Magic Johnson does seem dumb, but when you say that...
This man was giving us the breath of life as we've wandered in the desert for 40 years.
As you're saying that about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like, you kind of lose your benefit of the doubt. Like, you kind of lose, like, well, you know what? Actually, maybe you are smart. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope this year, after that contract and after being compared to...
Manna from heaven.
Manna from heaven. Started 23 of 82 games, averaged 11.4 points per game, shot 43% from the field, and 34.7% from three.
He started a fourth of their games?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
That doesn't seem like the godsend that is described as manna from heaven. That just has me in a whole nother world right now.
The thing is, we knew it was crazy when he said it. Like, this wasn't something that we thought, you know what? It just didn't work out. I understand why you thought that. You got duped. No, like, we looked and said, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I said he averaged 11.4 points per game. I mean, that's the lowest he's done since his rookie year. But it's not like he went from 20 points a game down to 11. He went from 13.4 points per game to 11.4. So, I mean, he was pretty much the same guy.
Yeah, not much changed.
He shot pretty much the same percentage from the field. He did shoot, I guess, 38% from three last year. So that went down a little bit. But he was pretty much the same guy.
That's remarkable. I cannot imagine being a fan of a team and like a GM or a coach or whoever coming out and comparing any player to any kind of just like biblical miracle like that. Like,
and then have that guy turn around and score 11.4 points per game as you are disappointing and finishing the bottom half of the league, the bottom third of the league, basically. I think they have the 11th worst record and they're 30 teams. So, I mean, you basically finished in the bottom 33% of the league.
And he starts a fourth of your games.
You have LeBron James and manna from heaven. You have
manna
both of those
sent from heaven, and you can't get in the playoffs.
Not only did you sign King James, you got manna from heaven. And finished in the bottom 30, let's call it the 35% of the league.
The man has his own version of the Bible and manna sent from heaven.
So, you know, Magic Johnson might not be smart, but it's not like I think Rob Pelinka is Littlefinger here.
He's a basketball genius.
Yeah, that has all the answers. He doesn't seem very smart either.
Does anybody with the Lakers know how to put together a roster?
I'm really worried for them. They have announced that they are not hiring a president of basketball operations, which means that Rob Pelinka did get more power and that Jeannie is going to trust him and her advisors like Kurt Rambis, who is a very, very bad basketball mind in the modern-day NBA. The Lakers look like they are going to be in trouble for the foreseeable future unless someone is just appealed by the idea of living in Los Angeles and playing alongside LeBron James. Now, they want to live in Los Angeles, they could do that with the Clippers. Like, Kawhi, if he wants to live in Los Angeles, he can do that with the Clippers.
And have a lot less headache.
Yeah, who seem to know what they're doing. They seem like they have people who know basketball running them. Whereas the Lakers, they seem to be a real dumpster fire. And then over the weekend, you do get the update from Gail Benson, who is the owner of the New Orleans Pelicans. This comes from Jackie McMullen. You know Jackie McMullen from ESPN, the one of the go-to writers, I guess, of you know the NBA.
I do now.
Always on Around the Horn. She's the woman on Around the Horn.
You're
Yeah. She covers Boston, and so I mean, maybe there's a little bit of a Boston slant here, a little anti-Lakers slant. But according to her, this is her quote: "We have been told, I think through channels, most of us have heard the same scuttlebutt that Gail Benson, that's the owner of the Pelicans, has basically said to the Lakers over my dead body regarding Anthony Davis forcing his way to the Lakers. Basically, like, there's zero chance we are trading you to the Lakers, quote, over my dead body. AKA, go right to hell. You're going to go somewhere else for 1 year before you get to go to the Lakers. You can go to hell. They can go to hell. All of them. Right to hell. I'm not sending you to the Lakers. So the Lakers are looking around. They're like, okay, we got Rob Pelinka. He sucks. We got Kurt Rambis. He sucks.
LeBron's old as hell.
LeBron's old. Although I'm still not ready to write off LeBron. And I do think the young core is okay. I do like Lonzo. I do think Brandon Ingram looked good at times last year. As far as being the most stable, that doesn't seem very, very promising. I'd be a little worried. As we are, I guess, 2 months away? Or no, excuse me, I guess we're 6 weeks away. We're a month away from when free agency really ramps up. I guess we'll have all of these answers, you know, starting near the beginning of July. So, yeah, like I said, we're about 5-6 weeks away from figuring all this out. So far, this just talking about this is more interesting than the conference finals. I do think we'll get a good finals. I do think either of these teams in the East can compete with the Warriors.
Do you think there's even a chance that Anthony Davis plays with Zion this next year and is like, this is pretty cool?
I don't know. I don't think that they can. I don't think they should keep him there again.
Anthony Davis?
Like, I mean, he's got 1 year left on his contract, Ben. So, like, I think that, look, the Pelicans seem smarter now. I mean, they got David Griffin, who is smart. Danny Ferry's over there. I think he's smart. I think they have to realize, look, we want to start new with Zion. We don't want Zion's first 2 months to be clouded with Anthony Davis.
Mm-hmm.
If he's on the court, if he's in the locker room, that's going to overshadow this really young, exciting, you know, hopefully future superstar that we have. Like, right? I mean, because already Zion's going to be a star. Like, yeah. He is going to be a storyline. People are going to watch him. He's going to push ratings. He's going to push interest. He's already pushed ticket sales. Like, they had, you know, a boost of like 3,000 tickets that were bought or reserved, I guess, the night of the lottery.
I mean, he's already being classified as the generational talent.
Right. So, I mean, like, if it was me or anyone with half a brain, I look at that and say, thank you, lottery gods. Let's take advantage of this. Let's get whatever we can for Anthony Davis. Let's remove the cancer from our organization. Now, you know, I think a lot of it's justified with Anthony Davis, but he's still a cancer to their organization. And let's start fresh with Zion. So I would say that there is like a 5% chance that they keep him to start the season. I think there's a 0% chance that he says, you know what, I want to stay with Zion. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that's happening. I don't think they should even have the option to play together. Like I said, if I was a Pelicans fan, I would be over it. I would be moved on from Davis, and I'd be excited about Zion.
Like,
it would be that meme where the guy's walking down the street with this woman
at the girl
looking away. It'd be like Anthony Davis on one side, and I'm looking back at Zion like, ooh. Got this new toy.
Look at that.
Got him for at least 7 more years. Let's go and do this. That's what I would do. Now, I've never accused the Pelicans of being smart, but I do think they have better people in charge now than ever before. I do think that they should get over their pettiness, too. Which is a big thing for me to say because I love Petty. I love Tom Petty. Richard was cool. And I love being Petty. I do think you should not have the stance of over my dead body, Lakers, because I do think the Lakers package that they can send is probably going to end up being the most appealing. And I don't think you should cut your nose off to spite your face type of thing. Which I kind of understand that saying. Like, I mean, I don't know why you'd be cutting your nose off unless you're just, I mean, are you mad at your face, I guess? Like, hey.
To spite your face.
Yeah, I mean, so you're just mad at your face for some reason?
Unless you're Michael Jackson, you just don't like your nose.
Yeah. Although he's canceled, Ben. We don't really talk about MJ anymore. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Starting on Monday, May 28th, Talk Sports will be moving to noon.
Tuesday, May 28th.
What?
The 28th is on a Tuesday.
Ah, very well. On Tuesday, May 28th, the show is moving to noon.
You know, in ancient Rome, noon actually meant 3.
Cut your mic off, Ben. Mark your calendars. May 28th, Knoxville's lunch hour gets heavier. Talk Sports moves to noon. I've got to the bottom of it, the bottom of cutting your nose off to spite your face. It's a really dark origin, actually.
Perfect for us.
Yeah, I think it comes from basically women cutting off their face to protect their virginity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What? Where did this, originate?
St. Ebba. St. Ebba, sometimes referred to as, I guess, Abe the Younger. Abby the Younger, maybe? A-E-B-B-E, I don't know. Abby the Younger, the Mother Superior of the Monastery of Coldingham Priory in A.D. 867. Viking pirates from Zealand and Usopla landed in Scotland. When news of the raid reached St. Ebba, she gathered her nuns together and urged them to disfigure themselves so that they might be unappealing to the Vikings, so that they would not get ravaged, raped, all that stuff. In this way, they hoped to protect their chastity, virginity. She demonstrated this by cutting off her nose and upper lip, and the nuns proceeded to do the same. The Viking raiders were so disgusted that they burned the entire building to the ground with the nuns inside.
I will say, my show Vikings, which has not started to fall apart like Game of Thrones. I'll just put that out there.
You know what? You might be convincing me. It might be time for me to fire up Vikings. I might be a converter after all, Ben.
I'm telling you, man. You would actually enjoy it.
They never ran out of source material because there's hundreds of years of Vikings.
It's all actual history.
Not
that's
just dumbass, fat-ass George R.R. Martin giving up on the books and not being able to finish them.
And you know how everyone's always like, well, you got to get to the third episode to really like Game of Thrones. First episode, first scene, Ragnar's out there just...
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert. But he's just wheeling and dealing. Like, first thing you see. So it's instantly
captivating. Was there a scene in here where they burned down a place full of nuns?
They plunder a few monasteries, but at the time they were all men, so like they didn't really have any problem with that. They just kind of killed them all,
so there was no cutting of the nose and the lips.
But they did, you know, like as they get further into England and find more and more just civilizations, they just kind of attack the women.
Okay.
Pretty brutally.
It was not uncommon in the Middle Ages for a person to cut off the nose of another for various reasons, including punishment from the state or revenge.
Yeah, there were
cognitive scientist Steven Pinker notes that phrase might have originated from this practice, as at this time, cutting off someone's nose was the prototypical act of spite. Although it wouldn't be your face, it'd be their face.
Yeah. A lot of like adultery cases back in the day, they would cut off a part of the person's face, like typically like an ear or a nose. Fun fact.
Yeah, that Viking story was a dark.
Yeah. I mean,
that one was dark. The
show Vikings is not as dark as that.
Well, I don't know if it's actually realistic then.
But it's entertaining, and we're on season 6 now, and it's not falling apart.
I laughed at you for a long time. It might be time for me to...
I'll give you my Hulu password if you need it.
I got a Hulu password. Don't worry about me. We're good. I appreciate the offer.
Can't hide money.
Can I say? TV is something that I think I hold very highly.
So you splurge on it?
Yeah, TV is something in my life that, you know, people ask what your hobbies are. TV is one of mine. I will never be a cord cutter, and I will have the streaming services that have good stuff on it. And I also think Hulu comes with my Spotify, so I don't think I pay extra for it.
That's how I do it too. Although I guess since I've basically just now been living alone, like, I guess I'm an instant cord cutter because I just went straight sling.
Yeah, you're gonna have a lot of new bills pile up on you as a single man. But like every month when that Comcast hits my account for like $135, I always think that's kind of steep. But then I'm like, you know what? Probably worth it. Probably worth it. I do love TV. But then I try not to add up the other stuff like the Amazon and the Hulu. Then you're looking at actually like spending like $200. I'm like, yeah, maybe that's not worth it. But
ESPN Plus.
Yeah, it's true. It's been an extra $5 for ESPN Plus, $4 for The Athletic.
Netflix.
Yeah, and Netflix is probably like $17, $18 a month. I mean,
Amazon
Prime, yeah, but I think that comes with Amazon Prime, though, right? Like, if you have Amazon Prime,
Amazon
you get the
Prime,
TV
you
for free.
The video,
you don't get the music, apparently.
No, you got to pay extra for the music.
Which seems really stupid, but whatever.
But you get the movies and TV.
So, yeah, we have the Amazon Prime for deliveries. We order a lot of stuff. Our girlfriend orders a lot of stuff off Amazon. I just order, like, books. And every now and then, like, actually, that's pretty much all I order off Amazon, yeah.
Books?
For the most part, I don't really use Amazon. I don't really order a lot of things.
You just rather go to the store and get it now?
I don't really buy a lot of things, to be honest. I mean, I do need a pair of shoes, and I was debating on whether or not I should go to the store and get them or just order them online.
I don't know if I would trust just ordering shoes online.
I bought my last, recently, I guess I bought some gym shoes to, like, be able to go to the gym in. That weren't wore down. I just bought them online. Like, on those, you know, every now and then you'll see the Twitter promotions where, like, you know, they'll be, like, 40% off or whatever. So I went in, I bought a pair of Nikes, and no complaints. They came, and...
BJ says Vikings is great. I will... Say I have.
I told you I'm getting very close to jumping on board.
I've got flat feet, so like I'm very specific about like my shoes. So like every time I have to go into the store and I have to like I probably have to try on.
You're still actually trying them on and walking around. I used to hate having to try them on and walk around.
I have to, or else like if I don't like try on like probably like four or five different pairs of shoes and like walk around, like I'm just uncomfortable.
When I was a kid, like it just there was no more like informality than trying on a pair of sneakers because. Usually, if I got to that portion of actually liking them, I was buying them for different reasons. Like, I thought they looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if they didn't feel good on my feet, I was still buying them.
So you
had to, like, make the guy lace them up. You try them on. And, you know, the new shoe usually didn't feel good. But I was like, yeah, it feels great. Love them.
Like, your parents always ask you, like, oh, do your toes have enough space? And they're, like, grabbing the front end. And then,
like, it's fine.
It's fine. Like, leave it alone. And then, you start walking. Like, is your heel slipping? Like, I don't know what that means. Like,
my heel was slipping, but you're like, oh, you grow into them. But I just had to have those. I loved those Iversons. I had to just bite the bullet on the Iversons.
But I just always had to.
Zip-ups. Oh, they're so cool.
I just always had to find a shoe that, like, didn't have a big enough arch to where my foot, like, just was in pain because I got these fat, flat feet.
The formality of trying on the shoe. I knew I was buying them before I put them on. Like, over my dead body, shout out to Gail Benson, you're taking this shoe back off of me. You know what? Matter of fact, lace up the other one, Jack. I'm wearing them out. I'm wearing them out of the store, through the mall. That's what I would do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just go straight flex.
That's right. I'd put them immediately on, and you know, for the rest of the day walking around the mall, people knew that I had new shoes.
I think I might have been just like self-conscious about the whole situation. Like I just hated like just being like one being in the way of people.
Cool shoes. You must not have been buying cool shoes.
I mean, I never really went with the Iversons or basketball shoes. Sure. Really, I was kind of like a.
Just wanted some New Balance, some Asics. Or something like that. Yeah,
you know, I got Asics a lot.
You could save those and put those on at the house. Like, yeah, those are fun.
I mean, like, I think when I got to high school, I started upgrading to Nikes.
In high school, though, it was different. In the high school ones, I wanted to take them home and protect them.
See, like when I got to high school, I was like, I'm just gonna start. Nike was the cool thing, you know. Everybody wanted that stuff. And they still run them a little thin on the shoes, and I've got some fat feet.
You just bit the bullet and just.
I was like, I'm just gonna squeeze these shoes onto me, and I'm just gonna try to look cool while I'm at it. I had some gray, the smoky gray with an orange check. Those seemed dope. On Fridays, you come in, you got your Tennessee gear on because you're ready to rock the weekend, and you got your orange and gray tennis shoes matching with your black and orange shirt. Mm-hmm. Oh.
You were killing the game.
I was styling sophomore and junior year. Probably why I became president, honestly.
Good. I mean, some new shoes will make you feel good. I had to go back into deep in my closet and break out some shoes I had in high school because I have ruined my other ones over the weekend. I don't know if they got dirty at Rhythm and Blooms or whenever I was making a fire in the dark. Like I feel like
the
I
white ones?
Some mud. Yeah, like they're gone. They're done for. So I have to go buy some new shoes. So I had to go back in the archives and break out some ones from high school today.
We tried to tell you that the white was bold.
They lasted over a year. They're fun. I mean, I threw them in the washer a couple of times. They're fun. It's just time for a new pair. I don't even. I told you so. They served their duty. They're fine. I'm not gonna go with white again. I'll probably go with like gray this time.
That's what I usually do. Gray or black.
Okay. Thanks for weighing in. Hour 2 in the books. Parker will kick off hour 3 with headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.